Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. It is a big week on the podcast, everybody. Welcome back. Joe and myself are here, and we are going to be joined by a guest today named Lisa, who has her very own travel podcast called Choose Your Happy Place, and she lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. We are going to dive into how to get to Salt Lake City at the end of our episode, how to do that on points, and you are going to definitely want to come once you hear from Lisa. Am I right, Joe?
You are 100% right. I was already converted with my recent trip. I think everyone wants to go to Salt Lake City after having seen it. But Lisa knows so much, and she's basically lived there her whole life, and she just knows the ins and the outs. She knows the places to go. She knows the hikes. So we thought, since I just went there in points and miles, we had to have her on to talk about the city. And then after our interview with her, we're going to give you a full points breakdown of what is possible on points and miles, because I think Salt Lake City is a very, very easy place to get to on points. Super easy.
Joanna, we have big news.
We have huge news to share with our people. You guys, as you may know, if you listened to last episode, we have a Facebook group. And we are doing something very exciting in that Facebook group. Mary Ellen, tell the people.
We're going to have a free Points and Miles 101 training. We're going to do that this week. So make sure you have joined the Facebook group. We're going to answer questions like, what are transferable points? Or once I have my points, how do I actually use them? How do I transfer them? What are shopping portals? What does 524 mean? Some of this is basic points and miles 101, but it may be if you are just learning about points and miles, you may have little holes or gaps in your knowledge that you need to get filled. And this training is going to give you a really good foundational understanding of all things points and miles so that then you can dig deeper and start practically using your points.
Yes, 100%. And I know Mary Ellen said this week, just for reference, if you are listening to this the day that it comes out, you are listening to this on April 29th. Yes. And we are going to be having this Points and Miles training on Wednesday, May 1st. So please join us there, but know that you got to get registered really quickly. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, go hop on it. Find our Facebook group and then respond to the event so that you make sure you're notified once we're going live.
And if you do miss it, that's okay. Join our Facebook group. We want this to be a place where we can learn, where we can share together, where other group members, it's going to be a community where people can share their great redemptions, hotel reviews, ask questions, their points and miles win. We're going to keep going after we're going to do points and miles 101, but we'll follow up with more of a 201 for people who already have a basic understanding of points and miles, but want to go a little bit deeper and kind of learn the next level stuff. So make sure you hop into that community. We have linked it in the show notes, and we will link it in other various places on our Instagram pages. Make sure you find the Wonderland on Points podcast Facebook group. We would love to have you there.
Yes. And make sure you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. We are not going to spam you, but it is the place that you will find out first if we are offering these 101 workshops or if there's anything else that we're offering. We will probably also be notifying people that way when a new episode drops. And also if there's any incredible deals like a transfer bonus that's happening right now, those are the kinds of things that we're going to start sharing in our newsletter. So make sure that you're signed up. I'll put that in the show notes so that it's very easy for you to click on that and just drop your email right there.
Joe, there are some pretty fantastic points and miles news this week in the points and miles world. There's two big things. One thing didn't turn out to be so fantastic, and one thing is very fantastic. So do you want the good or the bad first?
I feel like maybe we should start with the bad and with the good. So okay. For those of you who have been following the Hyatt saga, Hyatt ended its partnership with the Small Luxury Hotels collection, and it decided it was going to be partnering with the Mr. and Mrs. Smith collection. And people were tentatively excited about this because there are some very, very cool hotels that we thought we were going to be able to be staying at with Hyatt points. I think what none of us were expecting is that this partnership is using dynamic pricing instead of a fixed award chart. I know. I immediately went through and started clicking on some of these, and I was devastated to see that these redemptions look a lot more like Hilton Marriott IHG redemptions because they use dynamic award pricing. So instead of like you could stay at the Park Hyatt for 35,000 to 40,000 points. This is like, I saw one for 58,000 points. I saw one for 100,000 points. In many of these places, it's probably going to be a situation where people are going to want to be using cash and just getting points towards status by paying for these rooms with cash. Because it is part of the Hyatt partnership. So booking these properties does help you earn your status with Hyatt. And I think we're all a little disappointed, but, you know, we're going to make the most of it. It's going
to
be okay.
Yeah. For those who are new to the Points and Miles world and maybe new to Hyatt, go back, listen to our Hyatt episode, and you will learn that the beautiful thing about Hyatt is that right now they have a fixed award chart. So you can get phenomenal deals. But with this dynamic pricing with the Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yeah, super disappointing. So that was the bad news this week in Points and Miles. But there's good news too, at least for Amex fans. After a long hiatus from having any transfer bonuses, it's been a hot minute for Amex, they now have a 30% transfer bonus to Virgin Atlantic. And that is good through the end of May. So you have a good chunk of time here to be thinking about how you might use this. And I know you may be thinking, okay, Virgin Atlantic, but I don't want to go to London right now. I'm not planning a trip to London because that's what we think of with Virgin Atlantic. However, that is not at all how you actually want to use a transfer to Virgin Atlantic. So why this is great, there's a couple ways that you can really benefit from this if you have Amex points. For our family, one example is we are looking to go to Seoul, South Korea next summer. And I've been pricing flights for that using transfer alliance partners. Airlines have alliances, right? So Amex has transfer partners with different airlines, and then those airlines have alliances. So Virgin Atlantic is in an alliance with Korean Airlines. So Korean Air, you can book their flights through Virgin Atlantic. Now, for my family to book flights, direct flights to Seoul, South Korea was going to be 185,000 points. One way, but direct flights, and that's for a family of five. So that's pretty good anyway.
Definitely is.
But with the 30% transfer bonus, when I send my points from Amex to Virgin Atlantic, I actually only need 143,000 points to buy five direct flight one-way tickets to South Korea, which to me is awesome.
It's so, so, so good. And let's just, for the beginner listeners, remind people, are you booking these flights in the Amex portal? I just want you to spell it out for me.
We will spell it out. So I'm going to take my Amex points. I'm going to go to transfer points. I'm going to put in my free loyalty account information for Virgin Atlantic, which you can get a free loyalty account for any airline. Go to their website, sign up. I link that Virgin Atlantic account to my Amex and I send over the points. I have to do a little math, figure out how many I need with that 30% bonus, but I did it and I figured out if I send 143,000 points to Virgin Atlantic from my Amex, that will be 185,000 points to cover my flights to South Korea. And then on the way back, I need even less. It's only 114,000 points. I was joking with my husband because the total that we need is 257,000 Amex points. That's round trip, family of five. Guess how many points I have, Joe, in my Amex?
How many?
Okay. So we need, like I said, round trip, 257,000 points. I have 258,000 points.
Stop it.
It's a sign. It's like, I told my husband.
It is a sign. Yeah. And we are going to earn and burn. We are not going to care that we're cleaning out our stockpile because there are always more to be had. We know Mary Ellen is the Rakuten queen. Okay. She's just going to earn 75,000 points shopping through Rakuten this year easily. So do not worry about cleaning out those stashes for this epic trip. It's such a good opportunity. And to fly a family of five on that amount of points to Korea is so cool and so crazy. But I do want people to remember that once you transfer, you cannot transfer back. So do not move those points just because there's a transfer bonus. Have a goal in mind first. Figure out the flights that you want first, then move the points over. It is a great deal, but you don't want those points just locked up in Virgin Atlantic with nowhere to go.
Absolutely not. And we're going to show you at the end of the show when we give you very specific points and miles redemptions to Salt Lake City, why if you are not trying to fly internationally, if you're just looking for domestic flights through Delta, this 30% transfer bonus can help you. So right now we're going to go ahead and jump into learning about Salt Lake City, but hang on to the end because you're going to hear how you can use this transfer bonus to book flights domestically. So let's meet our new friend, Lisa. Today we are excited to be joined by Lisa Stanworth from the Choose Your Happy Place podcast. We're thrilled to have another podcast mama here with us in the studio today. So welcome, Lisa.
Aw, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on here with you guys.
We know that you love traveling just as much as we do. So what made you want to start a travel podcast?
Oh, man. So I have been traveling since I was a little kid, and I just had a great love for everything. I would travel to Hawaii. My dad lived in Hawaii, so I would travel there during the summers. And then my mom, we would do road trips. We would do road trips to like the Oregon coast, and I mean, that was instilled in me from such a young age. So I've just always loved it. And then I want to share it with my kids. So that's pretty much it.
We totally relate to that. I just want to let all of the listeners know that I met Lisa before I met Mary Ellen in real life, which is crazy. But Lisa and I connected prior to this Women in Travel conference that we were both going to. We both were like, we have travel podcasts and we're going to be in the same place. And then we were, you know, talking to each other about getting ready for this. And it was just a very instant connection, as I think we found with a lot of people in the travel community. That love for travel just brings people together. So we hit it off at the conference and I was like, you got to come on the podcast and you have to tell us about Salt Lake City, because for the listeners who have been with us, they know that I totally covered this trip on Points and Miles, but I think I also talked a little bit about how blown away I was with Salt Lake City, with the mountains, with how gorgeous it was. And it's like I'm already planning my next trip back. So I think everybody wants to go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So
it was cute. I haven't had that reaction where people were like, look at these mountains. These are amazing. Like, it's just, I mean, it's something that you just take for granted because you look out your window every day and there's these beautiful mountains. But I loved it. I loved your reaction.
I couldn't help it. Everywhere we went, I was like, Lisa, look at this. It was like unbelievable. I was just like a kid with my face like at the bus window, like my nose smushed up to it, getting a little carsick as we went up to Park City. But anyways, you, I found out while I was there, are just the expert on Salt Lake City. You knew so much. I was like asking questions about like the history and you know, and you just had all this knowledge. And I think it's kind of a funny story where you told me that you got the knowledge. So give like a little brief teaser of where you learned that. And then tell us how Salt Lake City came into being. I think that's the very first, most interesting piece of information.
Yeah. So we were talking about this before. So there's some friends of mine that kind of have done these local scavenger hunts, and think of it kind of like a treasure hunt. I don't want to give too much because, you know, it's kind of a Utah thing. But last year was one that I had to dive deep into Utah history. And it's funny because you learn all of this stuff in elementary school. I learned so much last year. Like, I could have been a history teacher. I could have gone to like, some of these museums and been like a guide because I learned so much. And so, yeah, it's so fun. I learned about like really all of the details of Salt Lake City, and it makes you just appreciate it more, I think, when you realize like the sacrifices that people took to get here and just to see everything that kind of has come out of it. And so, yeah.
These scavenger hunts, what I am envisioning is I've seen on Groupon and Viator for experiences that you can do when you visit different cities, and it's like a scavenger hunt through the city. Is that a formal thing that you did or just something that you did with friends?
Yeah. So I had these, there were these two guys that during COVID, they wanted to find a way to get people out of their houses. And because I mean, we have these beautiful mountains. And so they created a treasure hunt and they hid $5,000 in the mountains and wrote a poem. And it's something that has just kind of spiraled. They've been doing it every year. It's like last year was up to $20,000 and it goes on for months. And you're just doing hikes like all over the Salt Lake Valley, trying to figure out where it is. And it's just, it's such a fun way to get out of the house. Your kids enjoy it because you're going treasure hunting. And so it's just a super fun thing that they do here.
Wow. That is not what I was expecting. And that is very, very cool. I really love that.
Yeah, it's actually
I know.
So
when
much
she
fun.
Told me that, I just about died. I was like, why isn't that everywhere? It should be everywhere. That's a great way to learn the local history.
I know. Find people that want to just give away their money, and you can do it just about anywhere.
Lisa, if somebody wants to come visit Salt Lake City, are there specific times of year that you think are better for people to visit? I know there's totally different feels with the mountains and the skiing being so popular in the winter, but in my mind, I'm not as much of a snow person. I think I would enjoy hiking in the spring and summer better. What's your recommendation as somebody who's an expert on Salt Lake City?
Yeah, so for just like you said, so winter, if people want to come for skiing, we have some of the greatest snow on earth. I mean, we've had, I think 4 of our ski resorts have had like the most snow for the last couple of years, like throughout the world. So our skiing is pretty incredible for the winter. But if you're wanting to come for hiking, fall is my absolute favorite. I know it's probably not like known, but we have like our fall leaves are incredible. And so with these mountains, we have so many different places that you can go and go on these hikes that it's just, I mean, you have like the yellow aspens and then you'll have all these different colors and it's beautiful. Summer's so much fun. Like there's so much to do here during the summer. It does get hot, but it's like a dry heat. And so, yeah, spring's a little iffy. Like, I don't know. Sometimes our winter goes long. Sometimes it, so every day, like it was 75 yesterday and today's going to be 60 and then it's going to be like 50 tomorrow. And so spring's just a little bit temperamental, but yeah.
I would imagine the snow melt gets kind of muddy too in the spring.
Yeah. I haven't gone hiking much right now. I've gone down to Southern Utah more to do the hiking right now, because if I look out my window right now, like you still can see snow in the mountains.
Oh, aspen in the fall. I'm a fall person. That's by far my favorite season for many reasons. Yeah. And I've been to Boston. I love the Northeast in the fall. So many different colors. West Virginia, North Carolina mountains. They're all stunning in the fall. I think the Rockies and all the aspen trees, they just have a different feel, right? the yellow would be totally different than what I'm imagining from an East Coast fall.
Oh, they're beautiful. So I think you'd think more like Colorado. So you go through, there's two like main areas that people will go through to see the leaves. It's called Guardsman Pass, and it's from Salt, it's like a pass from Salt Lake to Heber, or like Park City area. And then there's one called the Alpine Loop, which it kind of like it includes Salt Lake and Provo and Heber and all of it. And it is just gorgeous.
How long are those hikes? That sounds like a really far distance. Are they
so those would be drives.
Are you driving them? Okay.
No, those
okay,
would
okay.
totally be drives. There's a ton of hikes that you can do as well. Cause I mean, these mountains have so many hikes, but that those would be drives.
Oh, I love a drive. I mean, I like to hike too, but I love a scenic drive. I would never have imagined, for whatever reason, I don't picture what I saw as a place with colored leaves. Everything was just so green that I was seeing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I didn't see a lot of trees.
Oh,
am I losing it?
You'll have to come back and you'll just have to, I mean, you're going to start getting into like the spring wildflowers, which is really pretty too, where it's just going to be covered on the mountains. But in the fall, you'll have to come back because it is so pretty. Like,
okay. I mean, fall is already my favorite. So yes, I wanted to backtrack a little bit to make sure that we let people know that, and I feel like I'm going to mess this up. Salt Lake City was discovered by a group of settlers that hiked a super long distance through the mountains, right? And then like came through this pass and were like, this is it. This is the place. And I think that's a really cool discovery story. I want you to tell it a little bit better than me. And also, apparently you can hike that, right? Like the way that they came?
Yeah, you're very close. So the Mormon pioneers had come through in 1847. And it's pretty cool because there's like the Mormon Pioneer Trail, which it goes through all the canyons. So you can hike on different areas of it. And it's pretty incredible. Like they actually have like little markers throughout it. So you can see exactly where the trail was and kind of different things. Like if there was a settlement here or if they camped here. But then there's a place, it's called This Is the Place Monument, actually. They had walked through the mountains at that point and they had kind of overlooked and been like, yes, this is the right place. This is where we want to be. And then a couple days later, they went up to, it's called Ensign Peak, and it's just up above, it's north of Salt Lake, like north of the Capitol building, I guess. And they had kind of looked over this whole just dry desert pretty much and just said, envisioned like Salt Lake City and said, this is the place. This is where we want to build this. And so, I mean, that's just kind of what they envisioned as Salt Lake from that point. And it's pretty cool. I mean, like you saw, like we're a dry desert, but then there's mountains just surrounding us. And so it's a pretty place.
It's like nothing I've ever seen. And I'm already a super history nerd. I am fascinated by the history of any place. And for whatever reason, that story like got me. I don't know if it was like how I remember fondly studying the Oregon Trail when I was a kid. Just any westward expansion stories get me. I don't know why, but I wanted to make sure people heard that because you suggested the Ensign Peak hike while I was there, which I didn't have time to do, but everyone else should do it.
If someone visits Salt Lake City, I really love visiting, especially when I have a family, right? I have three kids in tow. I like visiting places that I don't have to rent a car. If I go to New York City, I know I can use the subway system, even in St. Louis, which is hard to do. I made it without a car. But
that's
if
crazy.
Salt Lake City is the public, I know that's pretty crazy in St. Louis. Is there public transportation in Salt Lake City or is it a place that really you need to rent a car?
Do you know what? I would 100% say rent a car. We do have, it's called Trax, our Trax system, which does run. I mean, they're expanding it and it is able to run. But if you're wanting to do any hikes or explore more, I would 100% say rent a car.
Okay.
Well, I do know that when I was there, there were some good train options for downtown. Like, I know that I could have taken a train super easily from the airport to my hotel. So I think there's like a small public transportation option for that city area. But for sure, like if you wanted to go into the mountains, into Park City, all of that, definitely seems like you would need a car.
Yeah, they have like the electric scooters and stuff too. So I mean, you can get all over downtown with the electric scooters.
I mean, I did that. I was alone one morning. You were busy. Everybody else had like meetings and stuff at this conference. And I rented a little electric scooter and I took it straight up a hill to the Capitol building. That was the steepest. I was literally thinking I was going to fall backwards riding this scooter this straight. Listeners cannot see what I'm doing with my arm right now, but I was going straight uphill. I was like, it's not going to make it, but it did. Yeah. In fact, yeah, make it.
I will not tell you the amount of emergency room providers and nurses that say they would never do an electric scooter. I always hear about how many people come into the emergency room off of those scooter incidents. But at the same time, I still want to use them because they're just fun.
I mean, so I saw kids using these scooters, like teens. And I naturally thought, well, that looks easy. It took me about 10 minutes just to figure out how to like get it moving for the first time and how to put the kickstand away. I was like, I am too old for this nonsense. It was actually very fun, but it tells you not to ride it on the sidewalk. And I ignored that because I'm not riding that thing in the street. I'm not going to die today.
Oh, we always do it on the sidewalks. Yeah.
But sorry, I don't have a helmet, so I'm not getting in the street.
Yeah.
Lisa, what are some food things that Salt Lake City are known for? Are there any styles of food or restaurants, specific restaurants that you would recommend in the Salt Lake City area? Hey guys, we're going to get right back to the rest of this episode. But before we do, we have a request.
Look, if you've ever gotten any value from this show and you want it to continue to grow and to continue to serve you and have access to guests, if you could leave us a rating and a review, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be completely amazing.
These ratings and reviews go such a long way into attracting new podcast listeners and helping us bring guests on the show. It makes us so excited to hear how we are helping all of you reach your travel goals.
It really does. And if you're feeling up to it, take a screenshot of your review after you post it and share it to your own Instagram. And don't forget to tag us at Wonderland on Points Podcast. We would love to reshare it in our own stories.
Yes, we sure would. And if you haven't already, go ahead and leave that rating and a review right now. Okay, let's get back to the show.
Joanna was able to experience this. It's kind of crazy. So Utah is known right now for like having these soda shops and cookie shops everywhere. And so like these dirty sodas are like a huge thing here in Salt Lake. Joanna tried it for her first time, which
I did actually like it. But these people poured cream into a soda and I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" But then I tried it and I was like, "Oh my gosh. It's actually so delicious."
Yeah, they're actually fun. So those are all over. For downtown, I would say, I mean, we have everything. We pretty much have any kind of food you want, any kind of restaurant you want. There is one. It's called Cafe Rio, which is – it started here in Salt Lake, and then it's expanded. So it's across the U.S. now. But people that come to Salt Lake, like, that's something that they almost always have to get is their Cafe Rio salads or burritos or whatever.
Can I tell you that I almost ordered Cafe Rio for lunch today? I had no idea. We have that here, but I had no idea that that started in Salt Lake City. I would have never guessed that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we had that, and then there's some that have kind of spiraled off of that. So there's like Costa Vida and Barbacoa, some of these other ones. But yeah, if you come to Salt Lake, that's usually what people are always like, I need to eat my Cafe Rio. So,
I feel like I missed out.
I know. I told you that you should have had it.
You did. But I actually didn't even get to eat that day. Most of the food I ate was whatever was provided by the conference. The one meal out at a restaurant that I did was Red Iguana, which was a Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. Very good, just in case anybody is wondering.
A couple other ones, though, for you guys to try if you do come here. So there's like a hole-in-the-wall place. If you like Thai food, it's called Mai Thai. And it's one of my favorite places. The owner, she is a lady that's from Chiang Mai, Thailand. And it is like exactly legit. If you went and had street food in Thailand. Yeah. So it is fantastic. So that's downtown. Closer to the University of Utah, there's a place called the Pai Pizzeria, which is just, it's super good pizza. It's known for it. Another one downtown is the Market Street Grill. And so that's another super yummy one if you want to try it.
Amazing.
But yeah. We have everything. I mean, really, any kind of food, and there's so much good food down there.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I really missed out on the food section of this trip because a lot of stuff was provided. I want to know if there are great kids things. We have a lot of families that listen. Lisa, you have 5 kids. Mary Ellen, you have 3 kids. I just have one over here feeling very outnumbered in this group. But we have a lot of family listeners and people want activities to do with their kids. So tell us what we should do in Salt Lake City if we're coming with a family.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're coming just for downtown Salt Lake City, I think it's different because you have the downtown area, but then if you expand it like 30 minutes, it's crazy the amount of activities there is to do. Utah is extremely family friendly. It is kind of built around families because that's, I mean, Utah's kind of known for all these families, correct? And so there are a couple of places downtown that I would recommend. For kids, there's one, it's called the Discovery Gateway Children's Museum, and it is incredible. Like, it's an interactive, the kids can spend hours and hours there. And so that's a really fun one that's just right downtown. For the first time, I went to the Natural History Museum, and so that was a fun one. It was
so
dinosaurs.
Cool.
Yeah. They said they had more dinosaur fossils there than anywhere in the world. It was kind of insane how much they actually had there.
Yeah, it blew my mind because that's where they had the welcome party for the women's conference. So we had the run of this place. Uh-huh. So I've never been to a museum like that without children, and it was kind of so fun.
Yeah. Another thing they have is the Clark Planetarium, which is just like a space one that you can go to. So there's a bunch of different places downtown. With kids, I mean, for me, I just say get outside. Yeah. And so we do have so many hikes. There's the Ensign Peak, which is a kid-friendly one that you can do. Or there's the Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons, which have just like countless hikes that you can do.
Mm. Do you happen to know off the top of your head if any of those hikes are accessible? So a path, maybe it's a hike, but a paved path that a wheelchair could go on, or stroller-friendly for families with young kids. Do any of those stand out?
Yeah, so there's one that's up Big Cottonwood Canyon, and it's at the very top by the Brighton Ski Resort. It's called Silver Lake, and it's a lot of it's a boardwalk going around it, and they've been kind of fixing it up this last year to try to even it out more. But yeah, I've taken a stroller through it. There is, so it's a boardwalk, and then it goes into like a dirt area, but for sure you could take a stroller through it.
Perfect. Let's focus on, we talked transportation, but we skipped right over places to stay. So give us, if you have hotel recommendations, I loved the Hyatt Regency downtown. We'll talk about that on points at the end. But if you have either an area where you think people should get an Airbnb, or if you have hotels that you love, I want both of those.
So Little America is one that it's just kind of a fun one to stay. It's right in the heart of Salt Lake City. But for me personally, you can stay downtown. It's a great way to like get to see everything. But if you want to explore more, there are so many surrounding just areas outside of downtown that would be really good to stay in. So, I mean, we have every big chain that you could ever want. So, yeah.
Is there, in terms of Airbnb, is there anything around you where you would say, like, if you're going to get an Airbnb, this is the location I would recommend you looking in?
Yeah. So if you're wanting to do like Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons, which is most of the hiking that you're going to find over in that area, you have Cottonwood Heights, you have Sandy, and even like into Sugar House and Mill Creek along those sides, you'll get into all the mountains. Those are just the little tiny, I mean, cities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you call them? I don't know.
Salt Lake City, but it's the Greater Salt Lake. So you have all these different areas that are right along the mountains, along the base of the mountains. So I think anywhere, I mean, our freeways are really good. So you're going to be good pretty much anywhere in those areas.
Okay. I love that. And all those names are so cute. They're just, they sound like places I want to stay.
Oh, you need to.
I have seen on Instagram pictures of these gorgeous salt flats and people taking pictures. And it's my understanding maybe there's some that you can visit that are right close to Salt Lake City and some that are a couple hours away. Tell me about that.
So there is the Great Salt Lake. So when you're flying into Salt Lake, you'll see it. It's a huge, huge body of water. And so you have the Great Salt Lake you can visit. And then there's a place called Antelope Island. where they actually have like bison and stuff roaming that area. I mean, depending on the time of year, you can kind of go along and you can see like the salted areas, I guess. So there will be like areas where you can walk out a little bit further. It's just pretty. So that's just right there by the airport. And then there's also the Bonneville Salt Flats, which are a little bit of a drive away. But those are areas that like they recorded like in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, like where they're walking along the salt flats. Those are where they recorded those. So that's more what that looks like.
Oh, well, now I have to go there. I love a movie filming location. But no, it's so cool to know about the nearby ones because I saw pictures from girls that I thought were at the Bonneville Salt Flats, but were actually at the Great Salt Lake. And it was an illusion because it looked exactly the same to me as photos I've seen from the Salt Flats. So if you're trying to get that Instagram moment, it seems like you don't have to go that far.
Yeah, they went to a place. So here's another quick little history lesson. There's an old place right there on the Great Salt Lake. It was called Saltaire. And it was like, it used to be like an old resort that people would go and stay and swim and stuff. And then it turned into like a concert hall.
Whoa.
Where they'd have huge concerts there. And now it's just a big abandoned building that's kind of out there. It's insane. It almost looks like a palace. But you can walk out from there and you can kind of, there's like a place called Black Rock and you can walk out and it's kind of like a salty area by the Great Salt Lake.
I missed so many things.
I love all of that. I love it because it's so different than anything we have on the East Coast. And whenever I'm traveling, that's one of my main things that I'm thinking about. Like, where can I take my family to see something new or different? And those salt flats are just, from what I've seen online, just completely seem like another planet compared to what we're used to and what we see every day.
Yeah. There's so much to see. And that's the cool thing about Utah is there's like a little bit of everything. You know, we have the salt flats, we have the mountains, we have like big, huge mountain lakes. There's just so much. And so pretty much anything that you want to see, you're going to get just a little bit of everything.
That's so cool. So when we were there, we went up to Park City and I thought this place was the coolest place ever. Highly recommend people day trip to Park City. Are there any other places around Salt Lake City that are like that, that are these like quaint little historic looking mountain towns that are not to be missed? Or is Park City really the one?
So if you actually go just a little bit past Park City, there's areas called Heber and Midway, and it's even more... like, I don't know. It's hard to even describe because it is just gorgeous. Like, there's just a tiny little town feel and they have these beautiful mountains everywhere and rivers running through it. Gosh. And I mean, you love horseback riding. That's like a horseback riding heaven. And so, yeah, that's such a fun area. So that would be a really good area to explore. You'd be able to explore there for a long
time. I kind of think I would get an Airbnb up there if I'd already done like the downtown thing, or maybe split the trip half and half, stay half down in the city, half up in the mountains. That is amazing.
You'd fall in love with it. It's super cute.
I mean, too late. Already have. I told Mary Ellen, like, I want to move to Salt Lake City.
What airlines fly into Salt Lake City? I've heard that the airport is gorgeous. It's actually a really phenomenal airport. What are the hubs there?
So it's Salt Lake International Airport. So we have like everything going into it. Our airport got renovated and it's humongous. It's like a running joke here that if you're in the B gates, like you walk for like a good 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Like it is crazy how far it is. Your A gates, you're fine, but the B gates, like, it's pretty intense. You have to walk through like tunnels and escalators and all this stuff to get to the other side. But it's huge. We have pretty much every airline coming in through here.
That's good to know. Do not be late if you are going to be flying out of a B gate.
It's at the point that like people will like have to like stop and they'll be like, I just need to sit down for a minute because it's so far because you're just walking forever.
Oh my gosh. I flew out of an A gate and I was cutting it a little close. Like I was at a restaurant with some people like up till I went straight to the airport. If I had been in a B gate and found that out once I got there, that would have been a rude awakening.
Lisa, what other things, are there any other things downtown that would be really cool for first-time visitors or people to check out that you really love?
Yeah, definitely. So downtown, so there's a big area, it's called City Creek, It's the City Creek Shopping Center, and it has restaurants. It has all the high-end shopping, if you're into shopping. So that's always a fun one. It's an outdoor mall, so you can walk around there. There's also Temple Square, which is a huge attraction. It is currently under construction, but you can still walk around it. Joanna walked around that one.
It was still cool.
During Christmas. Yeah, during Christmas, it is just almost an entire block that they do Christmas lights that you can walk all around. So it's really pretty. The Capitol building has cherry blossoms during the spring. And then you also can just walk in and kind of explore the Capitol building. So it's a pretty cool thing to do.
I didn't know I could go inside.
Yeah, you can go inside of it. And it's pretty insane. Like, we do that for field trips with my kids. And it's, I think it's like 4 or 5 levels high. You can go sit in and like hear voting going on. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's actually a pretty cool place to go. If you're into genealogy, we have this huge family history center, which you can go in. There's people in there helping all the time, and they will go through and help you with like your genealogy if you're interested in that stuff. And then another huge one downtown is the Delta Center, which is like where the Utah Jazz play. There's concerts all the time there. We just acquired a hockey team, so we'll be having hockey teams there. I mean, it's huge. There's so much to do. I love it. It's such a fun place. It's such a family-friendly place. And whether you're coming for a weekend or you're coming for a week or longer, like, you won't run out of things to do.
I love how much your face is like glowing when you talk about Salt Lake City. That makes me just know how much you truly love it and what a fantastic place it is to visit and a place to live, because you just glow when you talk about it. And that's really cool.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, it's such a family friendly place, and it's been such a good place to raise my kids. And so it's somewhere that I grew up here. We moved away for 6 years, and coming back home, like, it really is. It's just home, and it's a fantastic place.
I feel like we've hit Salt Lake City really hard. I feel like anybody who listens to this will automatically want to go and stick around till the end, because after we say goodbye to Lisa, we're going to give you a whole breakdown of how to do it on points and miles. But Lisa, before you go, I feel like we got so excited and just jumped in. I want you to talk a little bit about yourself, your podcast, what you talk about on your podcast, maybe some really cool guests you've had on your podcast that you can tease, and maybe tell everybody what it's like to be a mom of 5 that looks like she's 25, when I found out, in fact, you are not.
I am going to be turning 40 this year, which like blows my mind a little bit. I am a stay-at-home mom of 5 kids, and I'm kind of just in the thick of motherhood right now. I grew up in Salt Lake. Like I said earlier, my dad lived in Hawaii, so I spent my summers in there with him. And then we moved away for 6 years to Boise, Idaho, and we've been back here for 10 years now. And so I have kids from 4 years old to a 16-year-old, and it's just crazy. Like, we are just constantly just crazy, but it's like the best crazy that you can do, right? As for the podcast, so 2019, I kind of had started getting the idea that I really would love to do like a travel podcast, things like that. And so I started looking into it, and then COVID happened. And I was like, I can't think about travel. I don't know when we can travel next. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So it got pushed aside. And May 2022, do you know how when you kind of get like a little tap on the shoulder that you should do something? I got like a full shake. Like, I woke up from my sleep, and it was like someone was screaming at me that I needed to do it like right now. So that day I got on, I started researching again, and
I have goosebumps. I literally have goosebumps. Oh. Oh my gosh.
I launched it in August 2022. And so it's just been something fun. With my podcast, I focus on a different destination each week, and we kind of do the whole rundown of like everything you need if you're going to that place, like the itinerary, places to eat, things like that. And yeah, it's just been fun. I've had some fun guests on. I have some fun guests lined up. And it's been a really fun thing to do.
I'm going to tell everybody, You had Ben Higgins on your podcast. And maybe people don't know who that is, but I know my fellow Bachelor lovers, which is something me and Lisa bonded over. You know, when I saw that you had interviewed him, I was like, jaw on the floor. That's pinnacle.
And he is like the cutest. And we've actually been like, we still keep in contact. We're still trying to figure out like if my husband and I can do a humanitarian trip with him. Like, it's been so fun. And so that's been a fun one. I had the bucket list family on.
So cool.
Which was a big one for me. That was like my number one that I had wanted on there. But it's been so fun. Like, you guys know, podcasting, it's such a weird world, but it's so much fun. It is so
rewarding.
I feel like for me as a mom, people have asked me like, why are you doing this? Or what made you want to start it? And I was a stay-at-home mom. Now I work out of the home a little bit with nursing as well, but it's just a creative outlet. You know, mm-hmm. It's not work, it's not momming, but it's my creative time and my creative space and kind of just my hobby that makes me excited and I want to talk about it. And I can tell that's probably the same for you with the podcasting.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's like, it's something that's mine. It's something that, you know, I know it's, you know, you're a podcaster that moment. You're not like having to go and run kids places. You're not doing these things, but this is like my little thing. It's been my little passion project.
Your podcast is great. Everyone should go listen to Lisa at the Choose Your Happy Place podcast. And you need to tell everybody now where they can find you in all the places.
Okay. So Choose Your Happy Place podcast is on all the different platforms. You can listen on Spotify, Apple, anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find it. On Instagram, it's Choose Your Happy Place. I am in the process of doing a website, and it's www.chooseyourhappyplace.com.
That's amazing that you got that domain. That seems like it would already have been gone. That's awesome.
Do you know what? I got it in 2019 when I first originally started, and I've just held on to it ever since. So
thank you so much for being here today. I want everybody in the world to visit Salt Lake City, and I think you are the perfect person to tell them how to do that.
Oh, you are so sweet. I love it. It's somewhere that is just so near and dear to my heart. It has such a special place. So I'd love to share it with everyone.
Well, you've done a great job, and we just appreciate you so much. And everybody is going to go follow you, because I'm going to link up all your stuff in the show notes.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I love her. You guys, we've just finished up our interview with Lisa, and she's our new fave friend of the pod, and everybody better go listen to her podcast. But we wanted to take a minute, now that you're really pumped up about visiting Salt Lake City, to tell you how you can get there on Points and Miles, which is our favorite thing to do. And as you guys know, I was just there. So I'm going to tell you what I did and also share a super embarrassing mistake story I messed this one up.
We all learn from mistakes, so they are helpful. They are learning opportunities.
Yes, I'm going to share my stress and embarrassment with all of you so that you cannot do what I did. But it was still a very successful trip. The bulk of it was covered on Points and Miles, and it all would have been had I not made this error. So we're going to dive into that, and then we're going to give you a few other options that I didn't personally do, but that you can do so that you can go to Salt Lake City. So the first thing to note is that, as Lisa mentioned, it is a big international airport, so it's pretty easy to find flights into Salt Lake City from almost anywhere. I started my search on the Southwest app, and Southwest did not have a lot of good flights from St. Louis to Salt Lake City. They did not have any direct flights that I could find for the dates that I wanted. And the flights were pretty expensive, 25,000 plus points. And I had a bunch of Southwest points, and I was going to do it. But then I started poking around in Points Yeah, which everybody knows is my favorite way to search award flights. And I found a direct Delta flight on the morning I needed to go that I could book through Air France. And at the time, there was a Chase transfer bonus from, I think it was 25% from Chase to Air France. So I only had to transfer 13,000 points for a 16,000 point flight, and I booked a Delta flight through Air France, as we talked about at the top of the episode. capitalizing on the transfer partners and the alliances is huge. Because just because I didn't have any Delta points didn't mean that I couldn't fly this Delta flight. And the great thing about points, yeah, is it is foolproof. You can search based on the currency that you have, and then it literally tells you what to do next when you click on the flight. It's like, okay, you have Chase points. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to transfer them to Air France. Like, it's so easy to use, and it's really a game changer. So that was my flight there, and I actually also found the same exact flight home for 13,000 transfer points, a 16,000 point flight overall with that bonus, and I moved my points, and I started the process of booking it. I remember picking my seats. I thought I bought this ticket, and I come in less than a week before I'm supposed to leave. Just checking the details, making sure all my things are in order. There is no return flight. There's no confirmation email. There is nothing. Gosh. There are 16,000 points just sitting in my Air France account.
It just makes like a pit in my stomach, you know? Like, I just feel my heart sink.
Stressed myself into oblivion. I was on every website, every search engine. I was looking at Spirit Air, okay? Ooh. Like, I was willing to do anything. What I wasn't willing to do is pay like 80,000 points for a flight home, because I did see an option like that. So there was nothing left. The availability, the award availability on that plane was gone. It was too late. I even called to see, because there were still seats on the plane. So I actually called to see if, like, oh, if I talk to a real person, will they let me use this these points to book this? But they only give a select amount of seats on an airplane to the partners. So Air France only has a handful of seats that they can sell on this plane, and then it's gone. So that was not an option. I ended up spending over $300.
I know.
I earned a multiplier of points on it. So, you know, there's that. But like, the pain of the fact that I found this great transfer bonus and I found this great flight, and then I actually had to spend cash that really was not in my budget, was so painful. I gave myself a cold sore. Like, I got so stressed that, you know, if you've been on my Instagram, you've seen it. Okay, because I get stress cold sores. So anyways, I don't
recommend
that.
So moral of the story, if you have ADHD like us, you're going to want to triple check that you booked both the flight there and the flight home. And they are both in your app, ready to go.
Yeah, do not leave your space where you were doing this until you see the confirmation number, okay? Just because they let you pick the seats does not mean that you clearly got to the last page where you finalize things.
So, and if you remember to the beginning of our episode, we were talking about the 30% transfer bonus for Amex customers through Virgin. So you can do, Delta is great because of the alliance that Delta is in. Joe was able to book Delta flights through Air France with her Chase points when they were having a transfer bonus. And the current transfer bonus, if you have Amex points, is 30% to Virgin, which is also a transfer partner of Delta. So for domestic flights, like going to Salt Lake City, if you have Amex points, you can transfer them over to Virgin Atlantic and you will be booking. It will not say maybe that it's a Delta flight in big letters, but if you look at the small print, it'll say operated by Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the domestic places, the flights are like 22,000 points. I found one to Salt Lake City for 18,500 plus $5.60 in taxes and fees. But with the 30% transfer bonus, that would be about 14,000 points.
Yeah.
And I will promise you this, you are not going to be booking a flight on Delta for that few of points, because Delta is ridiculous. I would highly recommend you never transfer points directly to Delta Airlines from Chase or Amex or anywhere that you have, I guess not Chase, but from Amex, do not transfer directly to Delta. You're going to want to book it either through Air France or Virgin and capitalize on the transfer bonuses when you can. So
yes,
we have gotten ourselves to Salt Lake City, hopefully using a transfer bonus when we can, but yes, definitely transferring points to get a good redemption. Now tell us where we're going to stay, Jo.
Yes. So I personally stayed in the Hyatt Regency downtown. It was across the street from the conference hotel. So that's why I picked this one. As you all know, I probably would have picked a hotel with free breakfast if I wasn't going to be walking to the conference hotel every day, because there are great Hyatt Place and Hyatt houses downtown that were maybe 10 minutes from where I was. And the area that I was in was so beautiful. Traffic was low. It felt very safe. And it was just vibrant. It was a couple blocks from the Temple Square that we talked about earlier and from the Genealogy Family History Museum. And I was able to walk around and explore. As I said, I grabbed the scooter. I went up to Capitol Hill. I did all of this on foot, I mean, or on scooter. But the area is fantastic. And the Hyatt Regency, I mean, I usually go for the more budget option, but it was fun. It was nice. Okay, I was looking up cash prices, and for a standard night, not a peak night, you're looking at 15,000 points a night, but like $325 a night in cash. For a peak pricing, you're looking 600 and above a night in cash and 18,000 points. I mean, it was so worth it, the points that I spent for those two nights. The room was gorgeous. The hotel amenities were great. Their little cafe was amazing. They also have a club access award availability where you could pay, I think it was like an extra 4,000 points a night. I ended up not doing it because I knew the conference was providing a lot of food. So if you have a free club award certificate, you could use that at this hotel, the Hyatt Regency. And that allows you access to the club lounge that has all this food that you can pretty much snack on like the whole day. So if you've got a family staying in a hotel room and you upgrade to a club lounge room, like that might be really worth splurging on the extra points, but definitely a great idea if you already have a club lounge award because you have a credit card that offers it to you or something.
And there's not a lot with the Hyatt credit card, as people earn these club access awards. Unfortunately, after COVID, some clubs did not open back up. So there are less options for using these club awards if you're within the Hyatt program. And so in the U.S., there are really, I mean, only a couple handfuls of good options for using those. So the Hyatt Regency in Salt Lake City is one of them. So that's a great thing to point out for anybody who has those club certificates and are looking for somewhere where they could actually use that.
Absolutely. And it's definitely something I would take advantage of with a family. You know, we like to hack that food cost anywhere we can.
Oh, girl, you know, that's my breakfast and my dinner for the whole family.
100%. A couple places I was also eyeballing, as I said in the episode, we went up to Park City. And this is like a 25-minute drive through the mountains, the stunning drive. And this little city is the cutest place I've ever seen in my life. I'm in love with it. There is a Hyatt-centric Park City up there. To me, it looks like a mountain lodge. Like, it looks very cool. It is one of the more expensive ones. It's 40,000 points a night for the peak pricing. So that would be more of a splurge. Or, you know, if you want to check off a centric on your Hyatt bingo, which, Mary Ellen, let's tell people what Hyatt Bingo is for the new people.
Yes, in the Hyatt app, it's called the Brand Explorer. And for every 5 different types of Hyatt hotels that you stay in, you can earn a free night. So Hyatt Centric, I'm loving hearing you say Hyatt House, Hyatt Place, Hyatt Regency, Hyatt Centric. That's 4 different ones right there.
Yes, it is.
So excellent.
Yeah, you could just bounce around Salt Lake City and play a whole game of bingo almost in that time. Yeah, there's so many Hyatts around Salt Lake City. Like, even as I'm just scrolling on the app, it would be unbelievably easy to do an entire stay on points and miles. And the places, the Hyatt places downtown, are very reasonable, peak pricing around 9,500 points. So if you're going with a family and you want the free breakfast and you don't feel like you need the fancy, guys, you could so easily do an entire trip to Salt Lake City with one sign up bonus. Like, really and truly. And I've never seen anywhere like this. I am, like, moved emotionally by this city. And so I really wanted to do an episode because I think everybody should go. I can't believe it took me 33 years.
I love that. You can't wait, guys. Life is short. Things happen. People get sick. It's a tough life sometimes, you know, hard things happen in this world. So don't be afraid to use your points, go see something beautiful that puts you in awe, and just appreciate and be grateful that points and miles gives us the chance to go see and hear about new things. So
absolutely.
I love that you went there, and I hope more people will after hearing this episode.
Me too. So thank you guys for joining us today, and we hope you loved this deep dive into Salt Lake City. And don't forget, join our Facebook group, check out our live. It's coming up in just 2 days, so you do not want to miss it. Wednesday, May 1st. We will see you there, and thanks for listening.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going, so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com, and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.